tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think," said the Lord, "but she can reason and compromise and persuade." Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. "Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put it there." We want to celebrate mothers today. We want to say to those here and to all the moms that we can think of who are represented by each one of us here, God has made mothers with incredible capacities. And I know there might be some here today who would love to be a mom and are not. And I want you to say that God sees your longing and he knows what you're going through. There might be here who some have never known their moms, or maybe their moms weren't the kind of godly moms that they would have longed for, and there's some deep pain in that. But this morning, we want to look at the characteristics that are there so much in a godly mother and how that actually kind of points to God. Because there's something about moms and their unconditional love that is just so powerful. To know that you are loved unconditionally is the most powerful thing. And this morning, Wally and I want to talk a little bit on two concepts. The first one is that God, like godly moms, loves us just the way we are. There's nothing that we can do to add to it, to improve on it. Loves us just the way we are. But God also loves us too much to leave us where we are. He wants to change us. Now, I know that God is presented to us as Father, and we address him as Father. God is also, he encompasses all that he has created in both genders. God created his mothers as well to reflect his attributes. So this morning, we want to talk about those attributes of God that we can see in a person, right? There's so much about God that is so sometimes apart from us and beyond us. But God has made creation so that we can see something in creation and go, oh, that's what God is like. So when you look around creation and on a clear night like what we've been having, and you see the vastness of the skies and the stars and everything, you can look at it and go, wow, God is great. God is vast. He's awesome. He's powerful. We can look at a little insect and see the intricacy of this little insect and go, wow, look at that. Look at God's design. Look at how much he cares about every little thing. You can look at a flower as the flowers are blossoming right now, and you can say, wow, God is beautiful. There's a beauty about God. And we can look at moms and say, wow, do you see how God made moms to love, to nurture, to care, to protect? God loves us because he made moms. So this morning, I want to take the first part of that and talk about how God is a God who is protecting and caring for us. How God is a God who protects and cares for us. We can see that in the animal kingdom, even amongst, with a hen. I think we have a picture of a hen. Do we have nope, not that one. That one's coming up. A mother hen. There's actually, in Scripture, you can see all sorts of Scripture that talk about how God is like a mother. And I'm going to get to that here in Luke in a moment. Check out the next one. Check out that lion. Just being diligent, hey? Just ready. Look at those little cubs right there. You come near my cubs, you're dead meat. There's no doubt about that. Check out this one. A polar bear. This was taken by some snowmobilers, I guess, who came along and thought they'd just check out the polar bear for a minute. You can bet they were heading off pretty fast after that polar bear was about to come after them. And then there's this one. This is pretty cool. When the camera was set up to take this picture, the owl didn't stay back with the little baby owls, just actually moved forward like this towards the camera. You're not coming close to my chicks. That's the kind of God that we have, who comes for us, who comes on our behalf, who works for us. And then there's this one. This is of an Israeli woman with the threat of a bomb coming down. It's powerful when you look at that and you see the kind of God that we have, who is out there protecting and caring for us. I want to read from Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Luke chapter 13, verse 34 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. God's saying, I just want to gather you. I want to bring you close. I want to care for you. I want to make sure that you aren't harmed, that you are looked after. There's an incredible protective instinct in God towards us. A couple of summers ago, I went to the Cloverdale Library with my daughter, Tierra. And we parked around the corner from the library. She's laughing as I'm telling this story. And I ended up walking into the library and coming back out again. And all of a sudden, there's this crow that comes down towards my head. And I'm like, wow, like this. And then sure enough, it must have been there for a long time because they actually had a little sandwich board sign on the sidewalk saying, you know, it showed an angry bird coming after you. So I went back into the car, and she hadn't seen what had happened to me. And so I just had to tell her, you know, you got to go into the library for a minute. Made up something, right? Just so I could watch her come around the corner. Next thing I know, she's like, ah! She's screaming, running down the sidewalk with this bird. I wish I could have gotten it. I should have videotaped it, but it was incredible. You know, the kind of God that we have is a God who wants to cover us, who wants to look after us, who says, you know what, whatever the danger is, I'm there for you. And you might be here this morning going, you know what, my life's pretty good. I don't feel like I really need a protector. It's, you know what, the kind of picture that we have of God is that it's bigger than just physical danger. There's actually the danger of our own choices, our own sin nature, the kinds of things that can make us go down the wrong path. And God's saying, no, come back. I want to care for you. Don't do that. Don't do that. God's there saying, I want to look after you. See, each one of us has a kind of disease. It's a sinful disease, and it affects so much of us. And God says, I want to be your covering. I want to cover you. And when Jesus was looking at the city of Jerusalem, he's saying, I just want to cover you. Would you come underneath my authority? Would you come underneath my leadership? I will actually give my life for you. That's the kind of God we have. He loves us so much that he actually gave his life for us. He literally did that. There's a story about Princess Alice, the daughter of Queen Victoria. She had a little boy who became sick with black diphtheria. The doctors quarantined the boy and told the mother to stay away. You know, back then they just didn't, all they knew was just don't come close. And this little boy's mom tried. Until one day she overheard the little boy whisper to the nurse, why doesn't my mother kiss me anymore? And Princess Alice ran to her son, smothered him with kisses. The tragic thing is, within a few days, both had died. It's a very sad story. But it's the reality is that God has come close to us, and he sees that we have this disease, and he says, I want to come close. And he actually took that disease upon himself, that sin, and he died. But the powerful thing is, he didn't stay there. He came back to life. And so this life is there for us, to cover us, to continue to care for us, to watch over us. And anything that we've done, whatever our past is, he's forgiven it. He's taken care of it. He's wiped out the disease because he came back to life. It's done. Isaiah 46, verse 3 to 4 says, listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all of you who remain in Israel. I have created you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you, and I will carry you along and save you. It's a powerful picture of God walking with us, that he's actually present. You know, moms have a certain amount of energy and a certain reach to go with us. The powerful thing about God is his care, his presence, is so much more far-reaching. It's actually for us all the way along in our lives. So when we enter into a relationship with God, it isn't just kind of for the sweet by and by, kind of after this life. It's actually for now, that he's with us, to walk with us. I want to hand it over to Wally, and he's going to take it a little further.
Finally, get the gift that moms want to give to us in all that correcting and protecting and caring and nurturing kind of aspect. When the light finally goes on and we understand the freedom. There's a picture of an eagle. An eagle, this is how an eagle teaches his or her young to fly. Doesn't nudge them out of the nest and say, go. The eagle actually takes the young on their back and starts to fly. And at one point, the mom will drop out from underneath and force that little one to fly. The mom will stay close by. If the little one's in trouble, swoops back underneath, lets it rest, brings it back to the nest. And they do that, and they do that, and they do that until the little one eventually flies to the nest by itself. When we begin to understand that gift that moms, godly moms, are giving to us, that sense of, we want you to be free, but you're not quite there yet. And God wants to give us that same gift. Then we begin to understand that, like godly moms, God is also our greatest cheerleader. There's a scene in the movie The Incredibles. I know that most of us have probably seen that. We're going to see a little clip that I think describes it. Love it. That's my boy. That's my boy. There's another scene in the scriptures that is similar to this one that we just saw. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 2. It'll come up on the screen as well. But if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 2. It says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, hey, they've got no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time hasn't come yet. But his mother told the servants, you do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Standing by were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out, take it to the MC. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. He said, a host always serves the best wine first. And then, when everyone's had a lot to drink, then he brings out the lousy stuff. But you've kept the best for the last. This is awesome. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time that Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, Jesus went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. I can just picture what happened behind the scenes that John doesn't tell us about. In between verses 5 and 6, when Mary approaches Jesus and says, hey, we need some wine here, Mary knows what Jesus is capable of. Mary knows what her boy can do. And Jesus says, hey, not yet. But notice that Mary steps away from him and says, guys, listen to what he says. And I have a funny feeling that Mary just kind of stepped back in the background, looked at Jesus, and was like, you know, like, come on, let's do it. And Jesus steps up, and he makes water into wine. And then in verse 12, it says, the next day after the party's all done and festivities all done, Jesus, along with the disciples and his mom, walk from Cana to Capernaum. And I think Mary strutted. I think Mary strutted like a peacock, saying, that's my boy. Hey, guys, you see what he did? That's my boy. I'm convinced, friends, that those words "That's my boy, that's my girl," are spoken from the throne of heaven by God the Father every single day about you. I think that every single day, God is up there looking down on us and saying, "That's my girl. Yeah, that's my boy. I created them in my image. I made you. Look what they can do. Look at how great they are." From the moment you were conceived, Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "You, God, made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Thank you for your workmanship. It's marvelous how well I know it," the psalmist says. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark womb. You saw me before I was born. Wonderfully, marvelous." He's talking about you. And what does God say about his creation? Genesis chapter 1, we know these verses. "God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good." He took 9 months to put your parts together in the womb, where no one else could see what he was doing. And he says to you, "It was marvelous. It was a wonderful 9 months. And when I decided you were ready, it was very good. You were very good." Friends, if you don't hear God's voice on a daily basis saying to you those words, "You're marvelous, you're wonderful, you're not just good, you're very good," then you need to stop. And you need to do one of two things. You either need to grab your Bible and grab Psalm 139 and Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 31, and you need to sit and listen to those words from the throne that say, "Hey, Stuart, you're wonderful. Lainey, marvelous. Jim, very good." Not just good, Jim, very good. You need to hear those words from the throne, from your greatest cheerleader. Or you can do the other thing that I think God has intended for us with moms. One of the reasons he's put godly moms in our lives or other godly women is so that they can be a voice into our lives, so that they can speak those words and cheerlead us on. Moms, speak those words to your kids. And if you're not a mom, find someone in the next generation that you can touch and speak those words into their lives, reminding them every day, "You're marvelous, you're wonderfully made, you're very good." I think that's what God wants to hear us talking to the next generation. And I think the message from the throne is the same as the message from a godly mother. "That's my boy. That's my girl. I created you. Oh, I did a good job. I love you just as you are." But like Wayne said earlier, not only does God and a godly mom love us just like we are, they love us too much to leave us where we are. They want to see us grow and change. Wayne's going to talk about that.
Like moms, God wants us to help us grow up. He wants to see us develop our potential. He wants to see us fulfill our calling. He wants to see us change. You know, I think we'd get very concerned if we had a little baby infant and the baby never grew. The baby never changed. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, 5, verse 12 says. It says, "You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food." You can imagine how ridiculous that would be if, you know, you're in high school and you're still bringing Pablum, you know, in your lunch box to school. God wants to see us grow up. He wants to see us move on to to be used by him, to understand the deeper truths of who he is, to commit ourselves to see what he's about and to live him out. One of the ways God does that is by modeling to us. And obviously, when we know that we're loved, when we know that we're safe and secure in him, that's a place where we can learn. That's a place where we can grow. We can risk. We can try things out because we know that God is for us. So God models that for us. And he creates a family. He creates a church family where we're able to see where others are able to model what it looks like to be a Christ follower. And that's why we come together as a church family. That's why we come together is to see, oh, okay, that's what God's traits are like. I want to become more like that. I can see that. God also is there saying, I want you to know there's boundaries. I want you to know that if you go there, it's not going to be cool. It's not going to work well for you. So it's a very loving aspect of God to say, you know, this is where it is. And I want you to, you know, it's not cool to take Johnny's toy in the nursery. You're going to have to take a time out. God's there saying, you know what? You need to do that. I love how these kids in elementary school talked about, they were asked about these questions. One was, why did God make mothers? So these elementary kids were asked, why did God make mothers? And one of the answers was, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Isn't that true? Another one said, to the question, why did God make mothers? To help us out of there when we were getting born. That's pretty obvious, yeah? How did God make mothers? Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. So it's a bit like the Incredibles there. Why did God give you your mom and not some other mom? And one of the answers was, because we're related. And then another answer was, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. But I like this one. Of what ingredients are mothers made? The answer this child gave was, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. I think it's that one dab of mean, which is like, don't go there. You're not going to go across that line. Mothers can teach us about the circle of life, right? I brought you into this world. I can take you out. But beyond that, God wants us to move beyond just seeing boundaries. He wants us to see that there are opportunities. He wants to teach us and to train us. And Wally already talked about that incredible illustration of an eagle who takes her young out of the nest and says, you know what, I don't want you to be caught in this boundary of this nest. I want you to learn to fly. And for an eagle, very differently than us as humans, you know, we kind of walk along and then stumble and fall. And, you know, there's not a lot of risk there. For an eagle, it's a long ways down usually. And God is kind of, he's given that illustration if I can find it here, in Ezekiel. It says that he picks us up, Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. It says, like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. I had to check out what pinions means. And the dictionary said a terminal section of a bird's wing, including the carpus, metacarpus, and phalanges. And then it says broadly, wing. I guess I could have just said wings. But he picks us up on his wings, and he carries us. And then the eagle, like Wally said, lets us fall. And then he comes and he picks us up. And he's teaching us how to fly. And I think it's a very incredible picture, spiritually, of what God does for us. He's teaching us. He's letting us go. He's helping us to learn how we can fly with him, can fly with his empowerment in our lives. He wants to see us soar. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, talks about a mother in the Bible. It says, and it's Paul talking to Timothy. He says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that that same faith continues strong in you. There's a powerful modeling, teaching kind of function that happened here. And Timothy went, oh, okay, I got that from my mom. I got that from my grandmother as well. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, you've been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. I want to say to moms here that one of the most powerful things that you can do is totally and completely give your life to Jesus. Just to live completely committed to Him. Because a committed mom to Jesus will display a life that has everything that good and right for a child. And this will instill in the child the love for God and the wanted to walk with God.
That there are those days where it feels like all your efforts are for nothing, and you want to put a for sale sign around your little boy's neck and put him out on the front step and see what you can get. We've all been there. Dads have been there. Maybe that's the dad's thing. Maybe that's not. Sorry, moms. Maybe that's the dad's thing. On those days, don't give up. One of the things that I've learned from watching my mom, and especially watching my wife as the mother of my kids, is that godly moms are tenacious. Their love for their kids never gives up. You know, most of you probably know that Joel struggles with some behavioral things and has some disabilities, and when we walk in the circles of that whole medical area, so often people will come up to us and say, how on earth did you get funding for Joel to be able to do that therapy? Or how on earth did you get funding for Joel to be able to go on that excursion? And every time I just point to my wife, tenacious, tenacious. There's one time she was talking to a doctor, a specialist up at Children's, and they were like 5 minutes into the conversation. And finally the doctor said, can I just ask you a question? And she said, yeah, sure. She goes, how did you get my number? Nobody has my number that doesn't work on this floor. She's tenacious. She puts things together on behalf of her kids. And when sometimes, maybe that's the dad thing, when we say, that's good enough. I'm content with that. Godly moms, nope. Now they know there's more in there. There's more for that child. The Bible tells us that God is a jealous and a tenacious lover of His children, just like godly moms. Romans 8, one of the great chapters of the Bible. Why is it so great? Listen to what it says about our relationship with God. Verse 15, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are children, we are heirs as well. What shall we say about such wonderful things, verse 31, as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? His love never stops. Verse 38, we know these verses. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. I mean, those are incredible powers. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. Verse 39, take a look at this verse. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. That covers everything. No power. Nothing in all creation will ever, not just today, not just yesterday, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a picture of tenacious love. Unending, unfailing, eternal for us. Philippians 1:6 says, and I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will bring it to completion. He's not going to quit when you're like 77% of the way there and say, you know what? Enough. Carl, I'm done. You're capped out at 77% of what I thought you were going to do. No, he keeps going. He says, I'll bring it to completion. And on that day when it's complete, we're ushered fully into His presence. And we get to experience His love for us for eternity It doesn't stop then when we meet him face to face. It's the beginning of eternity at that point. It's like the day in the life of a toddler. When you think back, when I think back to our kids, especially Joel's, who is ADHD, you can imagine what like 2 is on steroids. Their day is like, it's nonstop. Like we would think, oh, we've had 5 minutes where we haven't heard Joel. And then we're like, oh, we haven't heard Joel for 5 minutes. You know, and sure enough, one day we had in our first house, we had a sliding door that led into the backyard, and there was just 2 steps that went down, and he wasn't walking it, he was still crawling, and we'd leave that sliding door open like this, and it was an old sliding door, so you like had to really reef on it to get it open, and we thought we were good, and we hadn't heard Joel for 5 minutes, and usually he's like in a drawer somewhere or climbed up on something or whatever, and we're going through our house and we can't find it anywhere, and now we're panicking, thinking, what's happened? And then all of a sudden it clicks. That sliding door isn't this far open. It's this far open now. And sure enough, he's out in the backyard, crawling towards the play structure thing that we had. I mean, that's the life of a toddler, right? They go, go, go. And all day long, they're experiencing new things. And mom's there encouraging them and correcting them and saying, no, it's not good for you to crawl outside in the backyard by yourself. But at the end of the day, that toddler, even those ones with ADHD, they crawl up into mom's arm. We got a picture. And with everything they've experienced, they find contentment, they find peace, they find joy, they find solitude, no worries in their mom's arm. And that's the picture that God has for us. Whatever we experience in the day, it can be a great day. Yeah, this was awesome, this was awesome. At the end of the day, you can climb up into his lap. It can be a day, oh, this sucked. Man, this happened at work, and that person was on my case. I got a ticket on the way home. And climb into God's arms at the end of the day. Moms, you have a special calling to reflect that, to mirror that, to be that model for us here on earth now. He's equipped you to bring that picture to humanity like no one else. Remember, he created you equally, but he created you uniquely. There are things that you can tell us about who God is where we as men fall short. We just don't, it's not us. We don't get it. And I know those are sweeping statements, but it's true. He created you equally and uniquely in his image so that he could communicate to children and the next generation about his love and what he wants for them. So I encourage you, ladies, embrace your calling in the world. Embrace your true identity in this world as a daughter of the Most High King. You have access to the throne of God the Father. And every day you can climb up into that throne, onto his lap. And he'll tell you how marvelous you are. He'll tell you how wonderful you are. He might correct you. He might encourage you. But in the end, he's going to say, good, I love you. And then he says, now go and tell the rest of the world that. Today, ladies, we want to honor all of you. Godly moms, we want to honor all of you, ladies. Those of you who seek after God the Father, would you take your place in our midst? Like the women who went after Jesus was buried in the tomb. Remember that scene? The women go to see, like, check on the tomb, and who knows what they were, you know, the guys are too rational, you know, they're... He's in the tomb, the stone's there, nothing we can do, you know. But the women are like, no, we're going to go and just, that's, and they get there and the stone's rolled away. And the angel talks to them and says, hey, he's not here anymore. And this is the reality of what's happened. And then you see this picture of these women running back with joy and excitement to the men who are still like, yeah, whatever, I don't believe you. But these women come and say, this is what's happened. This is what God's told us. Jesus is alive. Would you come every day to your kids, to the rest of us, with that joy and that excitement as if you've been at the throne and say, this is what God told me today. Jesus is alive. This is what God gave me for you today. He loves you. You're marvelous. You're wonderful. Those are truths about God's love for us, how he wants to care about us, like Wayne talked about, how he wants to protect and nurture us. Ladies, you know that in a way that we don't know as men. Truths about who God is and how he boasts about us, how he's, that's my boy, that's my girl, how he encourages us and how he, there's something about, you know, it's something when dad says, I'm proud of you, but it's also something when mom says, I'm proud of you. It's different, but it's something. How God wants to nurture you, how he wants us to grow, how his love for us will never end. Ladies, would you be that voice for us? We need to hear that in our families. I think today more than ever, where families are splintering and breaking apart, and we need to hear that message. We need to hear that in our church. Right now, down the hallway, there are ladies, all ladies, teaching our kids about the love of Jesus. That's awesome. I kind of wish they were in here so we could honor them and bless them, but they're doing what we're asking to be done, and it's incredible. We want to hear your voice in our neighborhoods. We want to hear, I want to know that when my kids go out into the park to play or in the back alley, that there's another mom there who cares. And if my son or daughter is going to do something that's foolish, you know, they're going to say, whoa, whoa. And me and Sylvia, we take that same mindset. Because we recognize that that's what God has put us there for as parents. So ladies, speak into our world. We want to honor you here today. So I'm gonna close this off, and I think I'm just going to ask all the ladies to stand. Whether you're a mom or not, ladies, whether you're younger or older, I just want you to stand. We're going to pray over you. We want to honor you and bless you. We want to say thank you to you. Come on, Tiara, come on. You're not too young. This is a gender thing right now. And men, as we pray, would you just turn and extend a hand as a sign of honor and blessing to the ladies in Coast Hills in our midst? I know this is maybe getting out of our comfort zones, but just as a sign to them saying, hey, we honor you today. So as I pray, I'm going to pray one of Paul's prayers out of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ladies, when I think of all this, I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that his glorious, unlimited resources, through his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you, every single woman standing here today, with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now for us all, to the glory of God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church, in Coast Hills, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Actually, men, you can stand with the ladies. Ronyelle and the team are going to come up. We're going to sing another song and close. And ladies, on the way in, you should have received a flower, and on the way out, there's going to be something for you as well. So we bless you. We hope that you have an awesome day today, and we hope that it's not just today. I know that we honor you today, but something that we want to carry throughout the year as well.